Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A Michigan jury is deliberating involuntary manslaughter charges against James Crumbly, whose son Ethan opened fire at his high school in 2021, killing four. Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald during closing arguments.
There can be more than one cause of death. James Crumbly doesn't get a pass because somebody else also caused the death of these four kids.
Crumbly's wife, Jennifer, was convicted last month. President Biden traveled to the battleground state of Wisconsin to announce a new infrastructure initiative. He says it will reconnect communities that were historically divided by past transportation projects. Former President Trump's expected to be in a Florida courtroom tomorrow when his attorneys argue for his federal classified documents case to be dismissed. The NTSB trying to determine which Boeing employees worked on the failed door plug of Alaska Airlines Flight 1282. This is ABC News. Today is the 11th anniversary of the election of Pope Francis, and at his weekly audience, he once again pleaded for an end to war.
Per favore, perseveriamo.
The madness of war, the Pope says, is always a defeat. His message to the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square. Francis asked people to keep praying for all those suffering from the terrible consequences of war. He talked of being given the rosary and a gospel belonging to a young soldier killed on the front line. In somber tones, he reflected on the many young men who've already died. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
The rats in New Orleans are high, so says the police superintendent who calls the conditions at the department's headquarters so deplorable that the rats have been found munching on marijuana contraband. Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick says the building is also infested with mold and with cockroaches. The city council considering a plan to temporarily relocate headquarters. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The White House is sending $36 million to Milwaukee to help reconnect a neighborhood that had been divided by a highway in the 1960s. President Joe Biden made the announcement at a stop in Milwaukee Wednesday. He says that the project will help disadvantaged communities living on Milwaukee's 6th Street.
These are life-changing improvements. They're also going to make it easy for historic black communities in the north and Latino communities in the south to access jobs, school, and entertainment.
Wisconsin is seen as a crucial state to win in this November's presidential election. Reports say former Green Bay Packers star quarterback Aaron Rodgers might run for vice president. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for president as an independent. The New York Times reports Kennedy's shortlist for running mates include Rodgers and former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Brewers come up short. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers face the Cubs at Sloan Park in Mesa, Arizona. Colin Ray pitched four scoreless innings. William Contreras with an RBI and a three-run homer. But the Cubs came back with a walk-off home run from Patrick Wisdom to win 6-5 over the crew. College basketball, the UWM Panthers losing to the Oakland Grizzlies 83-76 in the Horizon League Championship played in Detroit. Oakland advances to the NCAA tournament. NBA, the Bucks with with another blowout loss on the road, this time 129-94 to the Kings, who went right after Damian Lillard. Doc Rivers.
They're going to pressure him and trap him. If we space the floor and move the ball, we work on the drill every day, we should be able to pick it apart. Think about it. If they're trapping Dame, that's Giannis in the middle of the floor. We didn't take advantage of that tonight. We really just didn't move the ball tonight.
How do you feel about the ball handling tonight?
We're sloppy. I mean, we really were. It's a sloppy night.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds around tonight into tomorrow with some showers and sprinkles. Low 40s low tonight. High tomorrow, only upper 40s. Sun's back breezy and around 50 Friday. The weekend looks breezy with more clouds around than sun and high temperatures in the upper 40s Saturday, upper 30s Sunday. Currently at 64 degrees.
Thursday on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'll be joined by judicial candidate Rochelle Johnson-Bent talking about why your circuit court trial judges are important to you.
Soaring from high above Onalaska and French Island, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Great to have you with me for hour number two. Fun show so far. Great participation. As usual, love reading your text. Our question tonight, and I just read a great one from the 818. What is your Good Samaritan story? Do you have one? It could be a story when you did something for someone else or when they did something for you. Either way, let's spread the love here. It is National Good Samaritan Day, thus the question. So please feel free to share your experience with us. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We have Sherry watching on the stream. She says, good evening from Horicon, Wisconsin. Good evening, Sherry. Always nice when you join us over the stream. And we have coming up at 8:30, in about 15 minutes, actually, my good friend and comedian Mike Schmidt will be here. It's all about the comedy tonight. We got a double dose of comics. And we also have a phone call we'll take before we get back to our conversation with comedian Nathan Timmel. Mark from the SAC is on the phone. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, hi. And at the end of 2019, I had just gotten out of the hospital and was at the rehab facility for a stomach cancer that they had to start working on.
Oh, man.
Then I was in the rehab facility, and they asked if there's something because I spent Thanksgiving that year in the hospital and that I'm released to a rehab facility. When I got to the rehab facility, they asked if there's anything they could do. Well, I needed to find a foster for my dog because he was stuck up in a kennel up here in Prairie du Sac. And the head nurse actually came up to – she pulled her nurses, found one of her nurses was willing to take my dog to foster him. And she actually drove all the way up to Prairie du Sac from Madison and brought my dog back to the rehab facility and to connect my dog with the nurse and brought him in to see me while she was there. And then the nurse took him home for several months, and I'd started chemo, midway through that. I mean, that was when I started chemo halfway into when COVID hit in March. That was halfway into my COVID in 2020 there. But, and then a colleague of hers actually took my dog when I had my cancer surgery in July. Another nurse at that facility took my dog for a couple of weeks to take care of him. But that just warmed my heart and makes me tear up when I tell that story.
I cannot imagine. Well, that must have just completely lifted your spirits.
Well, it did, because it was not looking good for me back then. It just really just heartened. I was kind of weeping when it happened.
How are you doing now, Mark?
I'm doing good now.
Good.
Staying clear now, and it just, had a rough bout last year with the post-operative infection, but doing good now, and that my dog right now is curled up at my feet and snoozing away.
That's great. Mark, that is a great phone call. Thank you so much. Glad you're doing well, and give the pooch rub the pooch's belly for Conrad, will you?
Yes, please.
I'm rubbing him with my feet right now. He's rubbing my feet right now, and he's getting into that.
All right.
He likes that.
Thanks so much, Mark. Have a great night. Great call. Yeah,
thanks, brother. You take care.
Yeah, you got it. And not a big surprise that nurses were Good Samaritans at one point. Nathan, do you have a Good Samaritan story?
Kind of. I don't know if this makes me a Good Samaritan or not, but my daughter is in Girl Scouts, and I used my social media presence to ask other people to be Good Samaritans. I said, hey, tell you what.
Oh, nice.
If you go to my daughter's Girl Scout cookie sale and click on buy cookies and have them delivered, no matter where you live in the world, put the address down for the University of Iowa Children's Hospital, and then we will deliver your donated cookies to the hospital. And we're going to do that tomorrow or Friday. We have, I think, 4 or 5 cases. But so I don't know if that makes us a Good Samaritan, but that's on the people that actually responded to my video. So other people are Good Samaritans, and we're going to take the cookies to the Children's Hospital and allow them to distribute them as needed.
I would say that's a win all the way around. That's a great story, too. Yeah, great timing. This really worked out having you on tonight. You can share that story as well as some stand-up comedy stories. Very cool.
Yeah. And then one other thing. I was listening to the news break and Biden pledging to fix the neighborhood in Milwaukee that was separated by, it was going to be a highway, but then never. That's where I lived when I.
Oh, wow.
So you said I was born and raised in Madison. I was born in Madison, and then my dad got fired a lot. I moved 10 times before I was 10 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
I lived in Oconomowoc, Appleton, Manitowoc, Amherst, Milwaukee. And in Milwaukee, I lived on 41st Street between Center and Hadley, just several blocks north of the area that for my childhood and I don't know how many decades after, was just a swath of empty lots.
Oh, that's wow. So, yeah, you're hitting and a home run tonight with your appearance here.
All these years later, it's going to become houses.
That's great. We have a couple more minutes. Can you tell who are your influences comedically, Nathan? Who influenced you?
Oh, goodness. I really hate that question because I'm such a cliche. I apologize for being unoriginal, but it was Carlin and Pryor. I remember being a child and my grandmother would buy me albums at the record store. I'm 5 years old and I got a hold of this album. I walk in. I don't know what stand-up comedy is, but there's a cover and there's a guy pretending to pick his nose. And I'm like, that's funny. I'm 5 or 6 years old. A guy pretending to pick his nose. It must have been 6 maybe. Either way. So get it. That's George Carlin's Class Clown. Had the 7 dirty words you can't say on television on it. I was 6 years old. I still have them memorized to this day.
Same.
Then when I was about 10 and living in Appleton, Richard Pryor Live on the Sunset Strip came out in theaters. I convinced my mom to take me. She didn't know any better. And there we were, me seeing an R-rated Richard Pryor in all his glory at 10 years old. So
your mom took you to see Pryor at 10 years old?
Well, in the movie theater, not live.
Still.
But he released. Yeah, but still, it was something. It was eye-opening and very informative and wonderful. And yeah, they're still my two heroes.
That's a
great. I love modern. I love Chappelle. I love Burr. You know, but those are my classics. Those are my. And then Robin Williams was the first comedian I ever saw live at the Riverside Theater, and just I missed half the show. I was laughing so hard I was crying.
That's wow. That's great. And you're right. We do hear that a lot. Carlin, Pryor, you know, but. They influenced a lot of people. They influenced a lot of other huge name comedians, you know, so that's a great answer.
Yeah, they're the gods. You ask a musician who influenced them, they don't say, oh, you know, this second-rate guitarist. They say Jimi Hendrix. You know,
exactly.
You go to the classics. They're the reason they live on throughout history.
Okay, last thing, buddy. This is Nathan Timmel. He's a stand-up chameleon, as he calls himself. How can people see your special and direct them to your website, if you would, please?
Sure. My website, I had texted my wife during commercial break because she's the smart one. And I said, hey, can you put a link to my special on the front page of my website? She said she'll get on it. But
perfect.
I am the only Nathan Timmel out there. If you Google Nathan Timmel, I'm the only one that shows up. So my website, just my name, NathanTimmel.com. Go to YouTube, type in Nathan Timmel. I will be the only one there. The special, Unapologetic, is right on the front. It's the featured video. So you click on my channel, and it's just boom, right there. Fantastic. Easily displayed for all to see.
And you can see all of there's Nathan's articles and clips. It's a great website. Go get lost in it, folks, and see if you can check out this guy live sometime. Nathan, great stuff tonight. It was great to meet you, and I hope you won't be a stranger here on Nightlight.
I absolutely appreciate you taking time out of your interviews to talk to me. Like I said up front, I had heard of you, I knew of you, and it feels nice, sort of like a full circle, like, oh, he was one of the guys when I started, and here I am talking to him. Thank you so much for allowing me on your program.
You got it.
I absolutely appreciate it.
My pleasure, buddy. Have a great night. Thanks so much. All right, that's comedian Nathan Timmel. How is it that he's the only Nathan Timmel, and there's another Pete Schwabe out there?
I mean,
it's my cousin. Yeah, it's my cousin. We always go back and forth. Hey, we got another phone call. This is Nick from Madison. Nick, how's it going tonight?
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, great. It seems like I always hear you when I'm just driving to get dinner and come back, and then you say something I want to talk about. But there are actually two things I wanted to say.
Okay.
You asked about a Good Samaritan story.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in college, I was driving, and then I saw a girl who was outside her car trying to get it started. And full disclosure, she was gorgeous. but
you would have stopped anyway, I'm sure.
Yes, okay. I'd have stopped for a guy too. But then she said her car was dead. She had to get to MATC, so I just drove her there and everything. And we've lost track of each other. But so that was my good deed for the day 20 years ago. I've done more good deeds since then.
That's great. Even for people who weren't hot?
Even for people who aren't hot, yes.
I believe that, Nick. That's great. That's great. We'll keep up the good work. And thanks for checking in,
and,
man.
You were talking about stand-up comedy, too.
Yeah.
Your last guest. I've actually done that.
Nice.
I've done quite a few open mics at the comedy club on State.
Sure.
Yeah. And let me tell you, the first time it was, I killed it. Don't get me wrong. You know, everyone was laughing, but I was nervous as heck, you know?
Sure.
And the thing is, and you were talking about Richard Pryor and everything, and one of the greatest and everything. But I don't like, I dropped a lot of F-bombs in my first one, you know, and I decided later I didn't want to do that because I kind of see that as a crutch.
Yeah.
So my next one, I talked about how I was dog sitting for my sister, and I locked myself out of her apartment, and, you know, just going through the whole story, but completely clean, no swears, but still I had the crowd rolling.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, and I've also done improv, and that's another animal as well.
But, it sure is.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Hey, Nick, we're up against the break, but I appreciate you sharing the Samaritan story and the stand-up. Get back out there and make some people laugh, will you? That's great.
Absolutely.
All right.
I hope you see my show sometime.
I hope so, too. Don't be a stranger. Keep us posted. All right. Thanks so much,
Sounds
Nick.
Great.
Have a great night.
Thanks.
That's Nick from Madison, right, Conrad?
Yeah, from Madison.
All right, from Madison. I'm really excited. Coming up next, a very funny dude. And people throw the word dude around. This guy is an actual dude. He might even own a ranch. Mike Schmidt is up next. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You close when we move. Well, you already know. So just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel good creeping up on you. So just dance.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you always wanted to paint? Well, now's your chance, as Link's Tome of Adventures in Chippewa Falls is hosting a painting workshop. The best part? All skill levels are invited. Unleash your inner artist on Thursday, March 14th from 3 to 7. All supplies are provided too. The first day of spring is right around the corner, March 19th, and if it has you thinking about your garden, you may want to learn how and why to grow organic vegetables. Sunbow Farm on Langdale Road in Eau Claire is hosting special classes every Wednesday through the end of the month. Find more information at sunbowfarm.com. If you're more into gazing at the stars, the planetarium inside Phillips Science Hall at UW Eau Claire is open to the public March 14th, starting at 7. Learn more about the night sky and ask your questions too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me here at Nightlight. We're broadcasting statewide from downtown Green Bay at WGBW at beautiful City Deck Landing. It's all about the comedians tonight. Tomorrow night, writer of the film Hall Pass and the subject of the first Project Greenlight, Pete Jones, will be here, and Tarl Knight, the owner of the Tarleton Theater, right down the block here in Green Bay, will join me as well. That's tomorrow night. But tonight, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He's a good friend, a very dear friend, and an old friend, even though he's younger than me, Mike Schmidt. Mike is here. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I don't think I'm younger than you. What did you just say?
Well, I'm in my really, really late 30s. I don't know what you're working with there.
Wow. All right. Yeah, I don't want to say disclose it public. No, you never know what's gonna happen. Wisconsin. Someone does a record store check on me, and I went up in the clip. So no thanks.
Hey, we have a weird delay there. Conrad, do you hear that, or am I hearing things?
Yeah, I hear that as well.
What should we do? You're the techno guy. I'm just the guy who sits here and flaps my lips. So we'll see if we can get this aired up with Mike or Schmitty, as I know him, always comes right out of the gate with something funny. That's so great. Mike, how are you?
We're still delayed. I'm very, very disciplined in this. I don't know if it's my aura. Do I have some sort of electrical, maybe a shocker from a West Raven film? Have I disrupted the electron in the studio? What's going on?
Dude, if you're doing that on purpose, it is hilarious. I'm getting like an echo. It's like double Mike coming through.
I wish I was talented. Unfortunately, the equipment thing. I what to say. You know, maybe we get that last guy who was on the horn in here. He's done improv. Maybe we can figure something out with this one. That guy's done. I'll tell you, that guy's done a lot of open mic, and he killed every one of them. Pete, I've heard that.
You know what's funny, Mike? The first open mic I did, I got a false sense of security because I went up at my college where I was going, and everybody knew me. And then they followed me to a contest at Zany's. So I had like this built-in crowd. I did my first open mic, and I wanted to kill myself afterwards. So it's a little different when you don't know people, but more power to anybody who does go up that first time and crush it. Do you remember your first time?
I do. When your seat does not show up, it absolutely distraught. You don't know how to handle it. Oh, my goodness. You know what? I started in a weird place. When I started doing comedy, I started in Lake Tahoe, California.
Oh, nice.
And the way I did it, I didn't open mics or anything like that. I entered a comedy contest they would have every year. And so I would gather ever, and I wound up at a bar. I was a bouncer at a bar. And then the DJ said he was a comedian. I'd wanted to be one. And there was a woman who was a valet partner over at the casino, Cindy. She was great. She was funny. And he was like, I want to do stand-up too. So we organized a show.
Hey, Mike, hold that thought. I don't want you to get to the good part of the story until we can figure this out. Hey, Conrad, should we have him call back, or what should we do? Because we still got that delay.
Yeah, if you just want to actually call the phone over here.
You want to try to call in, Mike? Or Conrad, you want to give him a call?
Yeah, sure. I'll give him my number here quick.
Don't call him on the love line again. Just use his actual phone number.
It sounds good.
Monkey
sounds
business. Good. All right, Mike, we're going to call you. Is that okay? Okay. Do you have his number?
I'm going to give him my number.
Or he could try on the stream again if he wants. Whatever works. I don't want to miss the good part of a story, even if it meant hearing it twice. So Mike Schmidt is with us. Mike, okay, when we get through to Mike again, I want to ask him too. Mike was like the head writer at this gig. He brought a lot of us in, his friends, to work, and it was called Load, was the name of the company. And all we did was write sketches. And you want to talk about like parameters. I thought this was so cool. A lot of the sketches were just what they had access to right in the comedy writer's room. So they were like office-based gags and all kinds of, but then it branched out and it was so much fun. And like most great gigs, it didn't last nearly as long as it should. Do we have Mike back, Conrad? Okay. It did not last that long, but some of my best memories of living in LA were doing these sketches with Mike and some of our friends. Hey, Mike, are you back?
I'm here, I think. How's the phone? Does it work better?
Yeah, it's fine, buddy. I just didn't want you to get too far into that story and for us not to be able to truly appreciate it. So, okay, so you entered this contest in Lake Tahoe.
Well, then when Cindy and DJ and I, we organized the show. Because literally the first time I ever did stand-up, I did 20 minutes on stage.
Wow.
Because we invited friends. We did a thing, and some of the material was stolen, clearly. There's no doubt. Well, actually, you know what? That's a lie. The first time I ever did stand-up was at a high school talent show with stolen jokes.
No
and
way.
And here's the funny part. It was a gong show, which, by the way, as we all know, comedians should always enter a gong show because the crowd definitely wants to support you. Nobody wants to hear them hit a big Chinese symbol in your face and watch you skulk off disappointed. No, they all want to laugh. So I went up, and the jokes I stole from a dude I saw on Letterman, who actually I wound up crossing paths with on the road later. I remember his last name. His name's David, possibly Moore, David Moore.
Okay.
But it was a bit about how James Bond had a license to kill. And if he killed a guy, then the cops would show up and he'd be like, no, hold on. And he'd pull out his wallet and show them the license. I can't remember the form of the bit, but that was the bit I ganged. And gong. So soda can bounces off my head. Not joking. Adrian Oglesby, who I was a friend with, threw a soda can and it bounced off my head as I walked off stage. And then the next day at school, he's like, oh man, I totally thought you were funny. And I'm like, you fired a six pack at me, you clown. Infuriated. So that was the first time I ever did it. And then years later, we did it in Tahoe. And then I didn't even start really doing it until I got to LA in 91, I think it was.
That's so funny. I know. It's like, I remember, it's so funny you say this because one of the best shows, and I'm going off on a tangent here, but you probably remember this guy because I know you're a Letterman fan. George Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he was a friend of Dave's. How loyal Dave Letterman was. He has George Miller on. George was a decent stand-up comic, but he had this joke that I used to love, and it was, he hates how athletes thank God after they make a play in a game or their team wins. He says, just once I want to hear some athletes say, well, the game was going great until Jesus made me fumble.
That's beautiful.
That's a great joke. So
there's a joke. Yeah, because I used to watch those old Lettermans. I have to share this because I think of it almost every day, still in the news. Leno would be on, and when I was a kid, I waited for Leno to be on Letterman. They were my favorite times. Richard Lewis or Leno, they cracked him up. And Leno did a bit one time, and he was talking about when you watch the news. Yeah, you watch the news, Pete, and they another senseless killing on the south side of town today. He goes, senseless? Why is that word even in there? He goes, a senseless killing on the south side of town, but on the north side, another killing, very sensible. So that was a thumbs up. And every time I hear, you'll still see, like, you know, local journalists, you know, a senseless murder on the, I always think of Leno every single time.
That's
40 years ago.
Such an easy joke, too, but, like, that's the brilliance of it. You know what I mean? Like, he was so great at that. Like, my favorite moments of Letterman, and I was not a fan of Jay Leno when he took over The Tonight Show. He just had this unease about him, but, man, when he was on Letterman, When he talked about graduates coming out of college, and he's like, they play this soft music, and it's like, oh, when I get out of, it was for Dow Chemical. When I get out of college, I can go to work for Dow and stop world hunger. They don't show you the kid's first day in the job. Where's the new man, Jenkins? Oh, yeah, that stop hunger thing that's been put on hold. We want you to work on the new death gel we've developed. Hey, Mike, we got to do a quick.
I'm so sorry. We turned this into a Leno thing. I'd hate to interrupt.
That's okay.
Because of The Tonight Show, he's become this, you know, people will rip him or the whatever. He was the funniest man in the world. For years, he was so funny as a stand-up.
I know.
He's talking about Greyhound. Greyhound, the worst way to get across the country is on Greyhound. Come on, who's on Greyhound buses? court-martialed GIs, ex-cons, the indigent, the haunted. I sat next to a guy, he had a syphilis germ in a jar, and he just moved his hand around. Oh, dude.
We will be right back with more Mike Schmidt. Don't go away. More Nightlight coming up next.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. House lawmakers overwhelmingly passed a bill that would ban TikTok in the U.S. unless its Chinese parent company divests within 6 months. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We are glad to see this bill move forward. We will look to the Senate to take swift action.
The measure now goes to the Senate. The judge overseeing the Georgia 2020 election interference case dismissed some but not all of the charges against former President Trump and other co-defendants. The IDF says it plans to direct a significant portion of the nearly 1.5 million displaced Palestinians living in Gaza's southernmost town of Rafah toward what it calls humanitarian islands in the center of the territory ahead of a planned offensive in the area. Three Missouri men face federal charges in connection with the deadly shooting at the Super Bowl victory parade and rally for the Kansas City Chiefs last month. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Dr. James Beebe has been named the new chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. He currently serves as the provost and vice president for academic affairs at Keene State College in New Hampshire. The UW Board of Regents voted unanimously to approve Beebe's appointment on Wednesday. He's replacing former Chancellor Joe Gao, who was let go after he was found to be making pornographic videos. This year's winter has officially been declared the warmest on record for Wisconsin. The state climatology office says that the average temperature from December through February was just over 28 degrees. That's nearly 10 degrees warmer than normal. This year's winter beat out the previous warmest winter by 2 degrees, which was set in the winter of 2001-2002. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds around tonight into tomorrow with some showers and sprinkles. Low 40s low tonight. High tomorrow, only upper 40s. Sun's back breezing around 50 Friday. The weekend looks breezy with more clouds around than sun and high temperatures in the upper 40s Saturday, upper 30s Sunday. Currently at 62 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas stations in the four state area.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a...
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 player selection draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft, the first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation to pull couple people out of that campus when the draft activities aren't going on to make sure that they see all the sites that we have within our downtown and other places.
And with the main draft campus around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the Wisconsin location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the next day. The Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring from high above Holman and UW La Crosse, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. My good friend Mike Schmidt helping us close down Nightlight on this fabulous Wednesday evening. Mike, where were we? We're doing other people's... Go ahead.
I'm going to ask you this. Did you hear the news report that they just had about that they're shutting down TikTok?
I heard it was a possibility.
I'm enjoying the fact that everybody's rallying behind shutting down TikTok when every time I go to somebody's house, I'm on porch to talk show. I appreciate that. That's everywhere you go. I'm literally talking to you on a device right now that if the government wanted to, could coordinate a drone strike on me in 4 seconds. But yeah, it's the Chinese with their TikTok that are figuring out what to do. Come on.
I got to be honest. I'm lost. I've been hearing this TikTok talk for a long time now. My wife is on TikTok, so I see it sometimes. But what on earth? How is it any different from Facebook or Instagram or Twitter? I mean...
You truly want to know? It's because the government can't regulate it. That's why it's
because it's
Facebook
owned by the
Twitter
okay.
and Vine. Yeah, and so they've found a way because Facebook and YouTube and Instagram there, and also young people use TikTok, and it possibly is a way to, I don't know, galvanize voters. Who knows? I never know what the opinion is of the 95-year-old men who run this country. I have no idea. but apparently they're upset that people are filming videos in their backseat eating French fries. And that's going to change the country. We got to shut it down. Shut it down.
What's even scarier is that millions of people are watching said people eat French fries. I don't get that either.
I look at stuff on TikTok, stuff I like, and then there's stuff, people will send me stuff, and it'll be like some guy wrapped in a bed sheet with eyeliner on his face, and I'm like, we used to do this as kids, but now I'd never had a phone that could send it to Guam, you know what I mean? All of a sudden now I'm an international superstar because I filmed myself on my couch. It's the weirdest world, dude.
It's so weird, and those are influencers. And
there's nothing wrong, and there's nothing wrong with it. That's awesome. Everybody should find what they love. I think that's great. I can watch stuff on there that I think is fantastic because I've seen plenty of things where you're just like, I don't know how anybody does this in 15 seconds. How can you entertain me in 15 seconds? And it's funny. It ties into you talking about Load. Load invented TikTok.
Yeah, I wanted to go there with you. I wanted to ask you about that. You're right, too, about the TikTok. Like, I don't get – where do you go from there? Like, okay, you're an influencer. You got millions of hits. You wrapped yourself in a bed sheet. And you put eyeliner out. Where do you take that?
Dude, I follow some dude from Japan, and he does fast cooking, like, you know, really sped up photography, and he'll make crazy food. He's got like 45 million followers. Think about the number of that. 45 million. That used to be, you know, that's half the people who watch the Super Bowl, if you want to really break it down like that. And, well, you know, I don't know who watched MASH, but I mean, it's, you know what I mean? 45 million people following you make chicken breasts on their phone. It's an insane thing. And the power you could wield is really crazy. But also, he's entertaining. I watch him every day. It's because it's, you know, it's a minute. It's a minute. You're sitting in a line at a grocery store. Or you're in a car at a stoplight. Shouldn't be doing that. I watch most of my TikToks when I'm on the move.
I'm on the freeway. Yeah. that's what I don't get. Like, at least that guy is a talent, but it's the people that, like, all I watch.
But then he'll do.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. He'll do a thing and it'll be an ad. McDonald's will pay him to drink a Coke or whatever on one of his videos. That's where you go with it. You know, you're getting brands to support you and give you money.
I just like to watch the people falling. As long as they're not falling on their neck, it's endless laughter for me. I cannot get enough of people. No. Wiping
people
out or
falling.
Doing
anybody who walks
stuff.
Into a window.
Have you seen that one? The guy trying to run and he's taking his shirt off at the same time, running to the pool and he hits the glass.
Yeah.
I've watched that 100 times and I laugh equally as hard every time.
dude, I got into a fight at U of I once, and we were going to beat some guy up for no reason because we're idiots. We're 18. And he ran away. So he's running and I'm chasing him, right? And it's dark, you know, it's in the middle of the night and I'm sprinting and I figure I'm going to cut around this. There's a telephone pole. So I go to the left. He goes to the right of the telephone pole. I go to the left, but it's dark. So I can't see. It has one of those big cables that goes down to the ground, you know, and kind of moors it. And I'm running and it takes me out right about in the breadbasket, I'm talking right in the old moneymaker in the middle of the gut. And I went out hands and feet forward, it stopped me dead in my tracks. The rest of my body kept trying to go, but I got stopped and because it bent up, I went in the air and then it body slammed me to the ground in a pile of gravel. And I was like, it was so bad, dude. And if somebody filmed that, I would have made $1 million.
You wouldn't even be talking to me right now. You couldn't even go to the bathroom in LA, Mike. That's hilarious. So I did mention load before. Some of my best memories of living in LA were, you know, the times you'd call me in to work on load. And what happened with that? Like I was telling listeners, like it was just a lot of it was just office based sketches. You guys did what you could with the resources around you. It was kind of parameters for being funny and you guys crushed it. But what happened with that? Did it last like a couple years, a year and a half?
No, not for me. Oh. It lasted not for us. It was a complete fluke. There was a guy who saw me at the Improv one night. This guy, Matt McPhee was his name. And he was super cool. He really liked me. He said, we got this idea. We're putting together a computer thing and we'd like you to be. And again, this is in 98.
Yeah.
That all seemed like a good idea. You know, we didn't know. Sure. Spielberg was starting Den, the company Den.com or whatever. Then Logue was the same kind of idea. And their idea was, this is how ancient this is. Remember on the internet when you would go to a website and it would take a while for it to load? It would take like 5 or 10 seconds for it to show up.
Right.
You would click on it and for it to be fully functional, it would take like 10 seconds as you sat there. Well, their idea was, why not create interstitial entertainment for the 10 to 15 seconds you were waiting for your website to load, hence the title Load Media.
That's great.
And so that's what we were doing. We were doing sketches that were anywhere from 10 to 20 seconds that would play on your, if you signed up for Load, it would be an app that ran in the background at all times on your computer. And when you went on the internet, it would play you videos while you were waiting for stuff to load. When you say it out loud now, you're like,
brilliant.
That was the precursor of everything. Yeah. It invented Vine and all of these things. You know what I mean? The only, for me, you know, I mean, again, brilliant idea. The problem was it was run by who to this day is still the worst person I've ever met in my entire life. I won't say his name because he's still around, but he, a terrible person and a terrible toxic company. We were immune to that because we were in like the room where we got to write bits. So he hires me as the head writer and I bring in Pat Francis as my co-head writer.
Yeah.
And then we got to bring in our friends every week to write sketches. And we would write and film. You know, it was a whole real, hey, kids, let's put on a show in the barn type of vibe. And it was fantastic. Because, again, I'd bring in my friends, but also other comedians that were funny who I saw at the Improv or anybody else. And they would just come for a week. We would write sketches like Monday, Tuesday. We'd film Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I would stay over the weekend and edit them and get them bounced up. It was fantastic. I loved it. I was making so much money. Because again, it was web money, but again, dealing with the guy who ran it was, he literally looked me in the face. He's like, I can do what you do. You're not special. You're not important.
Oh,
I could fire you right now. And so anyway, after we were only there for 6 months, I think. And then one day we just quit all of us together in mass, like we bailed. And, and then he hired Segrin, like Segrin got to work there. And then they hired, Andy Dick worked there for a while. And but then there was a website that you can probably still find online. It was called eftcompany.com, but they used the actual word, okay? And they had a forum, and people who worked at internet jobs would call and complain or post and complain, and Load was the biggest one that they had. And then all of a sudden, one day, on the front page of the LA Times, the toxic environment of Load Media was exposed, and they had interviews with all of these people. I was like, this is like, you know, 8 months after I left.
I remember that. I remember you talking about that. The funny thing, Mike, is Pete Moore did a sketch when he was there. He's been on the show before, and he did this guy who always said, you do the math. After everything, that was his catchphrase. He and I don't know how I got in on that, but to everything I post on Facebook, Pete is like, you do the math. Still makes me laugh to this day. So great.
Pete Moore, truly one of the funniest guys
hilarious.
On the planet. Just that deadpan. He invented a character called Shoe Doctor. And again, you say these things out loud, they sound stupid. But if you're sitting there with Pete Moore completely straight-faced, pretending to, like, examine a shoe and, like, whittle it with, like, a razor, and, like, and, all, and you're just like, why is he, what is he, you know, get, and he's just brilliant. He's so brilliant.
And he's the best. Pete was great at beating a joke into the ground until, even if it wasn't funny at first, it's the funniest thing you've ever heard after about 20 minutes, like at a party or
you
something.
You never got to.
So
yeah,
great.
Like you said, 20 minutes, but also 20 years. You're 20 still years. Doing, yes. You do the math. You're still doing, you do the math. It's crazy. And Shoe Doctor, like Pat and I will talk about it. It's just so, it's such nonsense, but it's so great.
Mike, we're probably going to get cut off a little bit with a short break at some point, but I got to have you. Last time you were here, you told the story about hiding out in your friend's house playing hooky and the mom came home and it was just so funny. You also have a story, if you wouldn't mind sharing it, when you worked at a convenience store.
Oh boy!
You got in a little bit of trouble. If you have time, or if you don't mind, I'd love to for the listeners to hear this story.
What kind of time do I have? Because I don't want to live in it if we're going to get cut off.
We've got about
bullet point it.
We can pivot if you. I got tons of questions for you, buddy. But we got about 4.5 minutes till news. Then we'll have about six minutes after that.
I can tell the story. That's fine.
Perfect.
I worked. I went to Southern California when I first moved to LA. It was in 1986. And I wound up working at a pizza place that provides you two pizzas for the price of one sometimes. Like, I don't want to say who they are.
But it rhymes with middle measers.
They serve pizza, pizza. That's all I'll tell. So my brother, Lenny, at the time was a supervisor. So when I moved to L.A., I lived on his couch, and he plugged me into the job. But then, I mean, he and I always had a kind of a dicey background anyway of getting along. And then he was my immediate boss in this job. So, and I was a slacker. I mean, I don't want, you know what, I'm 19 or whatever, working at a pizza joint. So I'm supposed to be there at 9:30. I get there at like 10:45 and we open at 11. I haven't made the sandwich buns, you know, all that nonsense. And he's furious. So then he'd come home and he'd bring it home and he'd be yelling at me at like midnight. I'm like, dude, I don't need this. I mean, I hate this job. I do it just for whatever. So I bailed on it. I wound up getting a job at a convenience store that was close to the house because I didn't have a car. So I would go over there and I worked graveyard. Okay. And I met the people who ran it were lovely. I don't want to say their names, but they were so terrific. I got along with the owners of the store and I wound up working graveyard. So what I had just moved to California, I've only been there about a year. So I was still in the, palm trees.
Yeah.
Mode, you know what I mean? Right. Everything was beautiful.
You feel like you're on vacation. Yeah.
Exactly. And I made friends still from the pizza joint. And what I'd do is I'd work graveyard and I'd get home at like 7:38. And then my buddy would pick me up at 10 and we'd go to the beach and we'd hang out all day. And then I'd maybe get home at like 6 and I might grab 2 hours of sleep or whatever. And then I'd go back to work. So I was going days with getting 2 hours of sleep a day or sometimes not even sleeping at all. It's just kind of in my DNA. I've always been that way. Well, when you're younger, it's easier. So at the time I was doing it. So one time I did a complete bender. Like I hadn't slept for 3 days. And I had 2 days coming up, 2 days off coming up. So I was like, I knew I could crash. And I was literally getting ready for bed. It was 9:45 p.m. And I was a zombie. I was ready to just pass out. And the phone rang at the house. And it was the boss. And they were like, hey, we had to fire your relief, the guy who took the days I didn't work. I said, oh, man, that's a drag. And they're like, we need you to come in. And I'm like, I cannot. I am catatonic. Like, I barely answered the phone. I feel like I'm underwater. And they're like, look, you got to come in. We're so otherwise I'll have to cover it. And I don't want to cover it. And I said, I get that, but I'm literally telling you physically, I'm not sure I can do it. I mean, I'm wiped out. And they said, look, if you come in, we will pay you double for the night, and then we'll give you the next 2 days off paid.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, when you work at a convenience store, that's easily $125.
That's company car. Yeah.
Right. So I couldn't say no to that, so I'm like, all right. So I jump in the shower. And I bring my boombox to the place, and I would bring a big suitcase of cassette tapes. It was double-sided. There was 80 on each side or 100 on each side. You could open it up. So it's like 160 cassette tapes. And I get there, and they're like, thank you. You're a lifesaver. Thank you so much. And everything's fine for the first couple hours. And then I go and I go in the back in the office. And I sit down, and it's like noon or midnight, I should say. And all of a sudden, the guy who works at the gas station next door during the day, he's in the office. He goes, "Hey, man!" And I go, "Hey, what's up?" And I walk out, and he goes, "Man, you can't be doing that." I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You were asleep." And I wasn't asleep. I was just sitting in the office. And I look at the clock, and it's like 12:15. So, like 15 minutes gone in a blink that I didn't even know. Okay.
All right. Wait, hold right there. Hold right there, Mike. Sure. We'll come back for part two of this awesome Mike Schmidt story. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. More of Mike Schmidt, the 40-year-old boy. Check out his podcast. He'll tell us how to find it next. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I can't hear a sound, folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere. Thought I was late, and I found she wasn't there.
Eagle 1490 AM. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you always wanted to paint? Well, now's your chance as Link's Tome of Adventures in Chippewa Falls is hosting a painting workshop. The best part? All skill levels are invited. Unleash your inner artist on Thursday, March 14th from 3 to 7. All supplies are provided too. The first day of spring is right around the corner, March 19th. And if it has you thinking about your garden, you may want to learn how and why to grow organic vegetables. Sunbow Farm on Langdale Road in Eau Claire is hosting special classes every Wednesday through the end of the month. Find more information at sunbowfarm.com. If you're more into gazing at the stars, the planetarium inside Phillips Science Hall at UW Eau Claire is open to the public March 14th, starting at 7. Learn more about the night sky and ask your questions, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back. A few more minutes here with comedian Mike Schmidt, who is in the middle of one of his classic stories. So, Mike, you're at a convenience store. You shut your eyes for a few minutes.
Pete, this is one of my classic stories. I know you know this, obviously.
I love it.
So I wake up and like 15 minutes disappeared in a blink. Like I just felt I went in the office and then I'm talking to him. No, 15 minutes was gone. So I walk out to the register and we're talking and he's like, all right, I'm going to take off. Are you all right? I says, yeah, I'll be fine. So then I'm like, all right, I got to do something about this. And I'm not a coffee guy. I'm chugging big gulps, but I'm not a coffee guy. By the way, the big gulp, you could get that at any convenience store. Please don't attribute any meaning to that title. So I start blasting music super loud and I start running around and, doing like Van Halen jumps, like playing guitar, air guitar and guitar on a broom that I have. Eddie Van Halen would jump and he would do a split-legged jump in the air.
Yeah.
So I'm just doing it to kind of, I'm just like, it's almost like I'm just jogging in place to stay awake. I'm running around the store, literally singing and jumping and playing air guitar, loud music. People come in, I go and I help them. And what I'm waiting for is for the newspapers to come. I'm like, all right, once the newspapers come, that'll get me another hour and a half. I'll read those. It will be fine. It's like, I'm looking at the night in parcels. So the newspapers finally come. And the guy who delivered the newspapers was a joy. He was just a big, it was literally the ghost of my future. Just this old, angry, non-successful, heavy guy. And it felt so terrible because every time he would come in, I would say, hey, how you doing, pal? Hey, what's going on, man? He would never answer me. So this particular night he comes in and I'm just like, I'm just trying to keep myself awake. I'm like, sir, how you doing? You look terrific. I hope you're having a fantastic night. I'm having the best night myself. How's it going? And he literally looks at me and he says the only word he ever said to me in the 8 months I worked there. And he says, effed. But he doesn't say the abbreviation. He just looks me right in the eye and he goes, effed. And he leaves. So I grab the newspapers. I go in the back. I'm going to read the USA Today. That's totally fine. Like I said, it's probably like 1:40. Okay. So I'm reading the paper and then I hear the bell. I got to go help somebody, right? So I stand up, I shake, and I rub my eyes because I'm all whacked out. It's a guy getting coffee and I go behind the counter and he gets his coffee. He's like, how you doing? I go, good. And I ring him up and the drawer opens and it's empty. And whoa. I look and I don't know what to do. And I look at him, but there's change so I can give him change for his, he bought just a small coffee. And I look
that
up
in your pocket.
Yeah. And I give it to, and I look and I'm like, and I'm confused because I don't know what's going on. Like why it doesn't make any sense. In my brain, I'm just like, did I do something? I don't remember. And as I'm thinking, I look over to my left and the beer cooler is empty. There's nothing in it. And I look at the clock, and it's 2:40.
Oh, no.
I was asleep for an hour in the back of the store.
Nobody man in the store.
Nobody. No. And so I immediately go and lock the beer coolers. Clearly, something has happened, and I have to lock whatever poltergeist who stole the beer in the beer cooler. He's supposed to lock them at 2 a.m. I locked them now. I'm like, you know what? I got to get ahead of this. So I lock the beer coolers. I look around, and I realize, like, there's no snack cakes on the shelf. All the Hostess cakes are gone. Oh, and I forgot. I should have mentioned this when I walked out to get the guy the coffee. My boombox was by the door, and I was like, that's weird. Why is that there? And then when I opened the drawer, I was like, what? And then I look, all the cigarettes are gone, like from behind the register. And I'm like, so I call the woman who manages the joint, and I'm like, hey, I got robbed. She's like, oh, my God, are you okay? Yeah.
I'm well rested.
All right, yeah. She goes, well, call the police, and I'll be over there, and we'll try to figure out. And so she comes over, and I'm just trying to kind of get the lay of the land. And I'm like, I am so dead. I don't know. Everything's gone. So she comes, and then the owner of the place comes, and he's, again, a super nice guy. And the cops are there. And he goes, well, what happened? And I said, well, it's really hard to say. Like, I don't even know especially what happened. And he's like, well, let's watch the security tape. We'll just, you know, we'll see that. And I said, okay. So we go in the back. It's me, him, and two cops. And they put the tape on from the time I show up. And, you know, they're watching it go forward. You see me disappear at midnight. See the guy from the gas station come in. And I emerge from the back, you know, with the back with him. Then you see me running around in fast motion, jumping around, singing and waving the broom. The cops are just like, I don't even know what the hell's happening here. And then you see I disappear with the newspapers. Then two guys come in around you know, 10 to 2. One guy has like a soda. He waits and then he puts money on the counter and he splits. And another guy pulls up and he takes a 12-pack and he puts it on the counter. And he's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting. And then he just takes the 12-pack and he leaves. Then he comes back,
oh, God.
And he's with a friend. And the friend waits by the door, and he leaves. And I guarantee you he went to the back to see where I was. So then he comes back, and the other guy reaches over the counter, and he hits the drawer. The drawer opens, and they take all the money. They take the money, and then they leave. They get back in the car. They come back in a third time. Now they try to figure out how to get in the safe. So the safe was like a time lock where you had to deposit money. It was like you couldn't open it. You had to roll money into plastic tubes and drop it. So they moved my suitcase with cassettes out of the way. I couldn't bear to lose that. They moved that out of the way. They go to the safe, and he's just trying to pull the door open at this point. And my favorite part is, you know, the other guy's in the back. I'm taking a nap. I mean, you know, they're just watching me, and they've got eyes on me the whole time. So then he grabs a hammer from underneath the register, and he just starts banging on the handle of the safe. I'm asleep. I'm crashed.
Oh, my.
You're a hammer. He's hammering, can't get the safe open. So then he looks, and he just takes all the cigarettes. Then they open the drawer again. They take all the lottery tickets. They come in a fifth time. They take all the snack cakes. They load them into the same box they had loaded the cigarettes in. They leave. They come back a sixth time. Now they just start carrying out the beer. Like a conga line, like Bugs Bunny, you know, all the guys running around the bases. And they're just bringing it all out and just putting it in the car, loading the car up. Finally, they come in like an eighth time, and you can see it on their face. They're like, I don't even know what's left to steal. Like, there's nothing left. And they finally, headlights pull up as they're in case, and they leave. They finally get in their car filled with contraband and booty, and they bail. And the dude who bought the small coffee comes in, and all of a sudden you see my fat nonsense come walking out of it. Oh, I just emerge, and you see the drawer open, and you just see my face like my jaw drops to the floor. Ridiculous.
Mike.
So we're watching this tape. I got to give you the end. We're watching the tape, the owner, and the cops. The cops are laughing at this point. And he finally, they stop it, and the owner looks at me, and I go, you know, I did tell you that I couldn't make it through the night, and I was so tired. And he just looks at me, and I go, I guess I'm fired. And he goes, we'll talk tomorrow. I go, I guess I'm fired. He goes, go home. We'll talk tomorrow. And Pete, guess what? I was fired.
I don't want to ruin it. Yeah. Okay. Mike, we got to go. That was so much fun. I so much I didn't get to ask you about Richard Lewis and all kinds of stuff. But come back soon, okay?
Anytime, man.
Awesome, buddy. That's Mike Schmidt. Thanks also to Nathan Timmel. All your texts and calls. So much fun tonight on Nightlight. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin. Boy,
News Talk for Homan on Alaska and, of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
Coming up Thursday on Matt Nair On Air, Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us for our public cervix announcement, and we talk all things sports with Paul Noonan. I hope you can join us.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.